ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central.
Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. Go. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in. This is Sports Central. It is New Year's Day in the NFL. That's what we can call it. My name is Adam Hogue. It is Wednesday, March 14th. And if you've had that on your calendar, which I know some of the crazy football fans do actually have that on their calendar, then you know that it means at 3 o'clock today, free agency officially begins. Now, this year has been weird in the sense... But this has actually been a trending thing over the last couple of years. But a lot of these moves, it used to be, first of all, you didn't used to have a 48-hour window where you could talk to teams. But then this new thing started where, okay, on Monday at 11 o'clock, agents can start talking to teams. And then you can start to work out some deals. But you're not technically supposed to agree to terms. Well, now everybody just does that. Everybody, I mean, we knew Allen Robinson was signed 24 hours ago, not literally signed, because you can't sign that contract till 3 o'clock today. But the Bears have made a lot of moves. They've been very, very busy, despite the fact that I still don't think they've given out the huge, huge, monstrous, ridiculous contract, which I think we've learned Ryan Pace is going to avoid. They still have spent a lot of money, though, in the last 24 hours, and we're going to break down all of these moves as we get going here. If you don't listen live, we hope you are, especially today, given that this is a very fluid news day. But you can always find Sports Central on iTunes and Google Play and listen to it whenever you want, maybe on your way home later in the day. But today is a good day to be listening live. And if you have questions, if you want to chime in on Ryan Pace's moves, 312-235-2525 is the phone number. Happy to take your calls today. 312-235-2525. Know we have a lot of Bears fans listening. And the great thing about Sports Central being live is you can chime in and call that number if you would like. Let's jump in with today's lead.
Off the play fake, Bortles rolls the pocket, throws on the run. Pass is complete. Allen Robinson, touchdown Jacksonville. Bortles quick drop. He loves this play. Robinson leaping grab. Fake to Irie on the slant, wide open, touchdown to Allen Robinson. Works his way to the outside like he's going to run a fade. Just crosses Cromartie's face, nobody to the inside for help.
Third touchdown catch of the season for Robinson.
A flurry of highlights from Allen Robinson, the Bears' new wide receiver, new number one wide receiver. And you hope you hear a lot of those highlights here with the Chicago Bears now that he has signed on. And they also add Trey Burton. And they also add Taylor Gabriel. So three weapons, two wide receivers and a tight end. And I don't think that they've given up on Adam Shaheen. I think that they think Adam Shaheen can be pretty good. He just needs to get a little bit better shape and for the rigors of the NFL. So, I don't know about you guys, but Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel would probably be the three best weapons that Mitch Trubisky would have had last year. So, I think it's safe to say the Bears have gotten better. Now, you always have to be careful with this stuff, because there's always a reason why a player is available in free agency. Now, some of them add up just perfectly. Sometimes you get a break with a certain guy that maybe had an injury that's easy to get over. Maybe, like I think in Trey Burton's case, he was just behind some really good players. Zach Ertz isn't going anywhere. So the Eagles weren't going to pay him as much. And ultimately, this does come down to money. So he finds a situation he likes here in Chicago. We're going to talk to Ryan O'Halloran, who covers the Jaguars for the Florida Times Union, to get the scoop on Allen Robinson. And we're going to talk to Ruben Frank, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly. He wrote a really good story that I mentioned on yesterday's show about Trey Burton, the situation he was in, and why he believes on a different team with more opportunity, can be a really, really high productive player. I want to talk a little bit about Ryan Pace here. Oh, and by the way, I should mention Chase Daniels, the backup quarterback, which they gave a decent amount of money. Not Mike Glennon backup money, but looks like he'll earn $7 million guaranteed next season. And then, according to Ian Rappaport, has an out in his contract to, if the Nick Foles thing happens again, he can be a free agent. You know, Mitch Trubisky goes down and Chase Daniel leads the Bears to the Super Bowl, which sounds very likely, right, guys? Probably not, but smart out to have in your contract, I guess. And Chase Daniel, let's face it, he's here to help Mitch Trubisky more than anything. He's hardly played. I think he has 2 career starts. So I don't know that he necessarily makes you feel great if Mitch Trubisky goes down. I mean, he's not Nick Foles. I've been a little hard on Nick Foles and sort of the ceiling he has. Certainly wouldn't give up a first-round pick for him. But Chase Daniel, I don't think is going to give you that kind of ability to come in right away and take over. Although we don't really know because he's never really played a whole lot. All right, Ryan Pace, though. I think I have been probably labeled as a Ryan Pace defender. That's probably accurate. I mean, I did write a really long piece in December on WGNradio.com about why I still believed he was the right guy for the job. And even though a lot of these free agents haven't worked out, he's hitting the draft and he has hit a couple free agent moves. And I think over the course of 3 years has made the roster better. And I think his head coach that he hired didn't work out, which is partly on him, but he was partly forced on him. We can get into all those things. What I do believe is that we have seen a gradual improvement in the roster. But more than anything, I think we have to just divide everyone up into 2 camps. Because you either believe in Mitch Trubisky or you don't. Let's face it, it comes down to the quarterback in this league. And if you can get over the idea that Ryan Pace gave up a couple mid-round draft picks to make sure he got his guy. Because I still hear from fans that, I love Mitch, but I can't believe we gave up those picks. Just put that away for a second. If you like Mitch, then the Bears are going to be, and Mitch lives up to those expectations that you have for him, this organization is going to be just fine. That's how this works in the NFL. So, if you believe in Mitch Trubisky, and you believe in what Ryan Pace is trying to do with bringing in an offensive head coach in Matt Nagy, and now bringing in these players, then I think you're also a Ryan Pace defender. And if you're asking me those questions, do you like Mitch Trubisky? Yes. Do you like the Matt Nagy hire? I do. Do I like these pieces that he's gradually putting around the quarterback? I do. Then you like what Ryan Pace is doing. I still hear from people, though, that want him fired. And I think some of that is just this general and understandable negativity around the Chicago Bears. They've been bad for 7 years. Let's face it. They've not been a good franchise. Not won enough games. But you can't turn that around overnight. And I always hear, it's somewhat true that bad teams get good, can flip it fast and become a good, and become a contender. But when you just throw that out there as a general idea, you usually miss the fact that it takes a lot of work to even get to that point where they can make that leap. And my objective take, and watching the last 3 years of Ryan Pace rip down this roster and slowly build it up, probably not as fast as everyone wants him to, but I think this roster and this team is at the point where maybe they can become that bad team that gets good quickly. But that takes a few years to rip it all down and build it back up. There are rebuilds in the NFL. Just sometimes takes a while to understand what's happening. And I don't necessarily know that Ryan Pace knew that it was going to take this long. I don't think you hire John Fox for a rebuild. I think that they thought they had more than they did. And certainly if Ryan had hit on more of these free agents, they'd probably be better off now. But I think there's a good chance that a year from now, maybe we should write this down. How about on free agency day, a year from now, we come back to this? I think the opinions about Ryan Pace are going to be much different. I think there's going to be a lot more confidence in what's happening after you see Mitch Trubisky in year two, and you see what this offense specifically looks like after adding Matt Nagy, and we don't even know what the draft picks look like, but adding Allen Robinson, who you guys know I've been pounding on the table for weeks. I don't know as much about Taylor Gabriel as I did Allen Robinson, but he seems like a pretty good fit for this offense. And I do like Trey Burton. I think he was in a position in Philadelphia where you correctly identified a guy who was underused, undervalued, and you put him in a new situation and he can take off. There are situations like that. And I don't think Ryan Pace gets enough credit for what he's done on defense. I honestly don't know how anyone can make the argument that the general manager should be fired right now. When you look at, like, do you remember the Mel Tucker years? Does that still ring a bell to you? And how god-awful those defenses were. And how quickly they got to that level of being so poor. There was nothing on that side of the ball when Ryan Pace got here. And he's drafted well. I've said over and over again, I'm still waiting to see more Pro Bowlers. I'd still like to see more top-end players, especially when you had three top-10 picks so far and about to be a fourth. But I still have high hopes for Leonard Floyd. Akeem Hicks is there. You made a good signing with Danny Trevathan. I think they're handling the cornerback spot right now well. Prince Amukamara is going to be back. Kyle Fuller, you know, almost certainly will be back. And Eddie Jackson, they do this thing called performance-based pay. You get like a bonus. It's all from this big pool the NFL has. And based on how much you play, you can earn extra money. And this came out this morning that Eddie Jackson's seventh highest performance-based pay in the league. And he looks like a guy you can build around. So I understand the offensive frustration, but defense is a big part of this sport, and he's done an incredible job on that side of the ball. Obviously, Vic Fangio gets a ton of credit too. But this is going to be now, and this is the year of the offense, right? Because at a minimum, you're hoping that the defense stays the same. I think it can actually continue to get better. I think Vic Fangio thinks it can get better. Certainly it will if they can improve their health on that side of the football. Just from mere attrition alone and improving that, which they overhauled strength and conditioning and their training staff this year, there's hope for that area too. But offensively, already they're better. And they haven't really lost anybody. Now, I am a big believer, and this is what we're going to get into with Ryan O'Halloran and Ruben Frank coming up here from Jacksonville and Philadelphia. What's wrong with these guys? Why are they available? That's the question you always have to ask. And certainly we've seen, like this day last year, We saw, who was that? Oh, man, who was at the press conference? It was Marcus Wheaton. See, I've already blanked this out of my head. What was the three guys at the press conference? Deion Sims. And, I mean,
Quentin Timms.
And Quentin Demps. So, Quentin Demps, Marcus Wheaton, and Deion Sims. All three guys might not be on the team next year. So you do have to be careful, but I do think at least Allen Robinson and Trey Burton, especially Robinson, is a different tier free agent. And you're expecting better things out of these guys. But you still want to build through the draft, and there's still going to be hopefully seven, assuming, you know, there's always a possibility of trades, but hopefully seven draft picks to add to this mix too. And if pace keeps hitting on those, I don't know how you can't see that this team is trending upward. It's taken a while, sure. But if you're a Bears fan right now, you're probably excited, and you should be. And in general, I mean, this day every year is the day of being irrationally excited. That's fine. We'll take a quick break here. Coming up, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union will give us the scoop on Allen Robinson, your new Bears wide receiver. Be right back on Sports Central.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
There it is.
It's Sports Central with Adam Hoge.
No big deal.
On demand and in real time on WGNRadio.com.
All right, back on Sports Central as we sort through the Bears free agency class. They've certainly been very, very active over the last 48 hours, and the big splash was Allen Robinson, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Want to get the scoop on Robinson from a guy who has watched him very closely over the last few years, and that is Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union. Ryan, thanks for jumping on with me today and giving us a little insight on the Allen Robinson situation. If you don't mind just giving us a little bit of background on how Robinson got to this point, not being franchise tag, of course, coming off the ACL injury, and then maybe did it seem like after all that he would be leaving Jacksonville?
Hi, Adam. Good to join you. Yeah, the ACL is the key part of this storyline. It should be the lead. Had he not been injured three plays in the last year's opener at Houston, he was probably going to get an extension at some point during the season by the Jaguars, if not well ahead of the start of free agency this offseason. So, you know, him going down ended the negotiations, which started in July. And I think there was trepidation, rightly so, about giving him a franchise tag, paying him $16 million guaranteed coming off that injury. But when that tag was not applied last week, the leverage went into Robinson's camp. As his right, he wanted to see what was out there, and he found a deal that the Jaguars were not probably not going to come close to matching, and it's a mystery why they would let a player like him walk out the door, but it's to the Bears' benefit.
Yeah, I guess that's what I wanted to ask you next was how much does this hurt the Jaguars? How important was he to Jacksonville?
Well, he's very important. You know, in camp last year, he was their best offensive player. And I think he was going to be gearing up for a big season. You know, he had the breakout year in 2015 with 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns, and a frustrating 2016. So he really buckled down during the offseason, came back, I think, a committed player, realizing that this was a contract drive. That was taken away from him, you know, as I said, three plays into the season. So I don't think the Jaguars were positioned to let good players walk, but they did, and they gave Marquise Lee a new contract. They signed Dante Moncrief. So you combine those two numbers, and that should have been enough to keep Allen Robinson, but we'll try and dig into their reasons as the months progress.
So it seems like the at least public perception in Jacksonville is that they made a mistake here, which I guess is good news for the Bears.
It is, and it is. You know, the fan reaction was disappointment because he is a playmaker. This team had trouble stretching the field. It's great that you sign a guard to a $66 million contract and you want to be committed to your run game. But in this league, on third down, in 2 minutes, in red zone, you still have to throw it to score. You still need a playmaker who can catch a 50-50 ball. You still need a receiver who can be effective in the red zone regardless who's covering him. That could have been Robinson. It was a couple years ago. So, to let him go and then to re-sign a guy who was playing maybe his second fiddle for a couple years of Marquise Lee, a disappointment with the fan base down here.
Ryan O'Halloran covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Florida Times-Union. He has covered Allen Robinson for the last few years. How is Robinson in the locker room? How is he considered as a teammate? How important was he to the chemistry of the Jaguars?
I think he was good. I think he can be a leader for that receiver group, and because he knows what the expectations are going to be. He knows what the contract pressure is. He's played with that pressure in terms of, hey, he broke his foot in 2014, limited to 10 games. He went into 15 saying, okay, I haven't done a lot yet. I got to prove I was still worth the second-round pick. He had a breakout year. He went into 17, with the pressure of, hey, I got to show up again this year and earn that next deal. Unfortunately for the Jaguars, that never happened. But I think he'll be a good influence. And it's always an adjustment for a guy going from a smaller market to a bigger market. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles the different media crowd.
One of the most overlooked stories in all of the NFL, in my opinion, Ryan, is the 2014 draft class of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm sure obviously all about it, but I believe the total on their second contracts of everyone that the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted that year, which includes Blake Bortles, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Brandon Linder, Aaron Colvin, Telvin Smith, Chris Smith, and then you have Allen Hurns, who was an undrafted free agent too, adds up to $324 million. I mean, you do not see draft classes like this in the NFL. So in a market like Jacksonville, did they draft too well here? It seems like they actually have a problem, and they just can't possibly keep all these guys.
The Chris Smith, they traded him for a seventh-round pick in this year's draft because he wasn't going to make the team last year. He was like fourth on the depth chart at pass rushing end. When you draft all those guys, I mean, they're coming off a 4-12 season, and they were terrible on offense. So they needed playmakers. They needed guys who could play right away. Aaron Colvin ended up being a steal. He had a first or second round grade and tore his ACL in the Senior Bowl. So he was a steal. Allen Hurns is a steal. For some reason, he went undrafted. He couldn't stay healthy in college. And then you look at Robinson and Lee. Lee fell into the second round because there were some concerns about his knee. And then they traded up to get Brandon Linder to play guard and then center. So, when you map out the cap 2-3 years ahead of time, they sort of knew they weren't going to be able to keep everybody. But they made headway with Linder and Telvin Smith during the season. They made them the first two contract extensions. And then they took care of the quarterback last month.
Well, it's an incredible draft class, and I guess the Bears are getting a good player here in Allen Robinson based on what you've shared with us today. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
All right, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union giving us the insight on Allen Robinson here. And clearly, sounds like, in his opinion, the Jaguars made a mistake by letting him go. We here in Chicago do not see too many free agents walk away from the Chicago Bears. It happened last year with Alshon Jeffrey. It happens here and there. But for the most part, I still think the Bears are a team that's a destination. They also, not going to lie, part of that, the reason why they don't have too many free agents like that walk away is because they haven't drafted that well in a really long time. So the few guys that they do have to lock up, they can usually get it done. But along with the Allen Robinson signing yesterday was the Trey Burton signing. To me, a very fascinating player in the NFL who was behind Zach Ertz in Philadelphia, and it seemed like when he got opportunities to make plays, he did. In doing some research yesterday on Burton, came across a story from Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philly about Trey Burton. It was written back in December, and it was basically along those lines about how this guy has not had a ton of opportunities, but when he has cashed in. Ruben Frank now joins us on Sports Central. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, you got it. I don't even remember that story. It was so long ago, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, it was...
I must have written it.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure you did. Your name's at the top of it. But the headline is, can the Eagles afford to keep third-string stud Trey Burton? And you're pretty complimentary about the way he played last season. And the numbers aren't huge because he hasn't had a whole lot of targets. But look, more so than the numbers, you've watched him play. Tell me a little bit about the player the Bears are getting.
I always liked Trey Burton, and you think where he came from. He was an undrafted athlete out of Florida. They drafted him. Really, he was a guy that did a lot of different things at Florida, and he was versatile, and nobody really knew exactly where he would wind up in the NFL. We knew he would be a really good special teamer, but those first 2 years, he only caught 3 passes, and they were in garbage time. He really just never had a chance, but we could see in training camp, he caught everything. He's got really soft hands. The ball just kind of floats into his hands, and I remember one drop he had last year, and that's it. He did very, very few, and that was on a ball that was probably a little too it wasn't a perfect ball. So he's a guy that you always projected, if he ever got a chance full time, to be the guy. He was going to be a 70 catch guy. There's no doubt in my mind. He's a 70 to 75 catch guy in the right offense with the right quarterback, and he's that good. They just, they devoted a ton of money to Zach Ertz, and Zach Ertz is a Pro Bowl tight end and a tremendous player. So they couldn't keep both, and it was just a matter of where. Now the money was a little surprising. I kind of figured he'd get about $6 or $6.5 million a year, so $8 million a year. I think it makes him the 5th highest paid tight end in the league behind guys like Gronk and Ertz, but he's really good. He's not going to be a thunderous blocker on the line of scrimmage, but he's very smart. And I think the Philly special, the play before halftime in the Super Bowl, the touchdown pass he threw, it kind of tells you a lot about him and what kind of athlete he is. It's an easy throw if you're in the schoolyard. You throw it, 10 yards to a wide open guy. But in that situation, on fourth down in a Super Bowl with 100 million people watching, to be so cool and relaxed and kind of, just to be able to make that play in that situation under that tremendous pressure, I think says a lot about his ability to function in any situation. And I know the Bears didn't sign him to throw touchdown passes, but I think it speaks volumes about the kind of guy he is, the kind of player he is, just to be able to make that throw. You see that throw work in practice 100 times, and you get into a game, and the guy throws in the dirt or throws it 5 yards over the guy's head. So I think to be able to make that throw in that situation on fourth down in a Super Bowl really tells you a lot about Trey Burton.
No question. I think it says a lot about how much the Eagles trusted him in such a big moment like that to get that done. You mentioned in your story he didn't catch a pass until his 26th NFL game. But in 20 games since week 8 of last year, and this is from the point you wrote the story in December, but Burton had 42 catches for 426 yards and 4 touchdowns. I'm sure he has more since then, but because this was still while the season was going on. But that just speaks to kind of the, late bloomer, more opportunity, whatever it is. This guy appears to have some upside. He's still young, and I'm guessing that's what Bears general manager Ryan Pace sees in him too, which is why, hey, look, we all know, we cover the sport, you overpay on the first day of free agency. That's just how it works. So they're probably overpaying a little bit, but in their minds, they're hoping they're paying for future projection and not past success.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, yeah, he's 26. So you're getting a guy who's just entering the prime of his career. And, you know, he's a guy that is, I mean, he's got the whole world in front of him. And the thing is, he's a great guy. He's a hard worker. You know, he's unselfish to a fault. He fit into this. And that was the whole thing about the Eagles this year was nobody cared about their stats. Nobody cared. You know, even Alshon came in and was an incredible team guy and you know, didn't care they didn't have 1,000 yards or any of that stuff. He just wanted to win. And I think Trey brings that mentality. He's always been a hard worker. And hopefully he'll still play a little special teams because he's a great special teamer. Now, I don't know. Every coach has a different philosophy about, you know, running starters out on special teams. But he's fun to watch. He's one of those guys that you could tell watching him on special teams his first couple years just how fast and athletic he was and instinctive. And you knew it was just a matter of catching the ball before he'd be a good tight end. So he was really number three behind Celek and Ertz until the second half of 16. And since then, he's been everything they've asked for.
Can he be trusted as a blocker?
Not really. I mean, the effort will be there. He'll get in front of a guy, and he's gotten better at it. You know, he's not going to be, he's not going to be this thunderous guy on the line of scrimmage. That's just not who he is. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a finesse player. I think if he's asked to do it, he'll put 100% into it. But you're not going to, if you're running out the clock in the fourth quarter, you're not going to have Trey Burton out there.
All right, fair enough. Since I have you here, how much did Alshon Jeffrey, how big of a piece was he to the Super Bowl? And how much do you think the change of scenery really helped him?
Yeah, he was incredible. And he's one of those guys that I think played so much better than the stats. You know, you look at his numbers, and I don't know, what did he have, like 770 yards? And
yeah, his numbers were actually down from his last year with the Bears. But I think anybody who watched him clearly saw a better player.
Yeah, and, you know, he was great in the red zone. And that's another thing about Trey Burton, by the way, getting back to him. He will catch touchdowns. I think he had 5 touchdowns this year in very, very limited play. He's a real weapon in the red zone. I think that's one of the things the Bears liked about him. But as far as Alshon, yeah, you know, he played the whole year with a torn rotator cuff. I think Alshon and LeGarrette Blount both came in, and I think everybody wanted to see how they were. This is an offense where nobody's going to have 1,000 rushing yards or 1,000 receiving yards. They're always going to be balanced. And everybody wanted to see how are these two guys going to react. They're the kind of superstar guys that you're bringing in who are going to set the tone. And LeGarrette and Alshon were both just unselfish, team-first guys. And, you know, their lockers were near each other. I think they got along great, and they really set the tone for that locker room. When your older guys, your veterans, your Pro Bowl guys, you know, your superstar-type guys are setting that unselfish team first, I don't care about my stats mentality, the young guys just fall in line. I mean, they're watching those older guys, and they're watching those veterans to see how they respond to, you know, a week without a catch or a week with, you know, low numbers. And you couldn't ask for more from Alshon Jeffrey this year. I mean, I was just so impressed with him. And his ability to make tough plays in the end zone, I think that's kind of where the numbers don't really tell you what he did. Because when they targeted him in the red zone, he caught it. And he made great catches week after week in the red zone. And he became such a weapon, and you know, for both Carson and Nick Foles. And I don't know if they win the Super Bowl without Alshon Jeffrey. He was that good.
Wow, that's he certainly was huge in that game too. I was there. It was a great performance by him, especially in the first half. Ruben Frank, NBC Sports Philly. We appreciate you jumping on. Great insight. Thanks, man.
Anytime. See you soon.
All right, Ruben Frank. He was great and had some good things to say there. And I like the honesty too about the blocking, because I always wonder about that with guys, tight ends. Can they block? So that creates a very interesting situation with Adam Shaheen. I do think that's a dynamic of this to watch going forward. Is this, because they kind of seem like they're in similar spots. I mean, Shaheen's not a great blocker. So, second round pick last year. Maybe we'll ask Adam Johns about that next. Johnsy joins me next here on Sports Central. All right, back here on Sports Central.
WGN.
Adam Johns joins the program now as we keep the Bears conversation going on a busy free agency day. Although, Johnsy, it really hasn't been as busy as the last couple of years, I feel like, because the Bears did so much work yesterday.
Yeah, how about that? So much for that 3 p.m. buildup. I don't even know what's left to announce. I actually feel bad for the organization, Larry Mayers of the world. You know, what have they been able to do? It's got to be frustrating. I'm sure this is a point of contention for a lot of teams in the NFL with their own networks, you know, breaking news.
Yeah, I noticed that they tweeted out last night, the Chicago Bears did, here's everything you need to know going into tomorrow. And it was everything you need to know except everything that's already happened.
Yeah, so everything you don't need to know.
Exactly. So you and I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Allen Robinson and Trey Burton. As we recorded Hogan Johns and played it here on Sports Central. If you guys missed that conversation, you can still find it. It's available both on the Sports Central podcast feed and the Hogan Johns feed. But Johnsy, after we got done, the Bears also signed Taylor Gabriel. Chase Daniel was part of the news today. What are your thoughts on those two moves?
Chase Daniel should be like one of the least surprising moves. It's right there up with like the Bears pursuit of Allen Robinson. He played for Ryan Pace and the Saints. Chase Daniel played for Matt Nagy in the Chiefs. The connections were too obvious to ignore. Makes complete sense. You bring in a veteran who has been a backup his entire career. He only has two starts, but he's here to help out Mitch Trubisky. I get why maybe it's of interest to Mark Sanchez, but in many ways, Sanchez already served his purpose. He was the mentor Mitch Trubisky needed as a rookie. Now you have Chase Daniel, who's familiar with Matt Nagy's offense, familiar with the language of that offense. Clearly, it's going to be beneficial for Mitch Trubisky.
And Taylor Gabriel comes in. He's, there was so much talk about Albert Wilson. To me, very similar type player, not quite the same production. 33 catches last year was. I don't have the numbers right in front of me right now. So it'll be interesting to see what they hope to get out of him.
Yeah, he was better in 2016 when Matt Ryan was he was the MVP of that year, kind of lighting the world on fire. Obviously, the Falcons made their Super Bowl run that season. Very explosive player. And hey, Adam, we're bigger than him. He's 5'8", 165 pounds. So it feels good to walk into the locker room. I always have to be looking up at these 300-pound behemoths, you know.
Yeah.
Jokes aside.
Well, speak for yourself, man. I'm like 4 inches taller than you.
That's also true. I'm barely 5'9", you know. It's okay. They needed speed. The Bears needed speed. That's why they went after Albert Wilson. You know, I know Allen Robinson's got speed. Cam Meredith, when he had his local pro day, you know, he timed very well, too. But Gabriel, he's your speedster. He's your burner. He stretches the field, and he's more than a slot guy. He could bring you a lot more. I like the move because the Bears needed to speed things up. And I'm interested to see what Matt Nagy can do with him and Tariq Cohen on the field. I think that should be very exciting for Bears fans.
How about just the money that they've spent? Obviously, Allen Robinson pulls in a big contract. You know that. Just he was one of the top-tier guys. But we just had someone on from Philadelphia who said that Trey Burton got a little bit more than he thought. Thought it'd be more like $6 or $7 million per year. It ends up being $8. I mean, that's not a huge difference. But Chase Daniel, 2 years, $10 million. Sounds like $7 million of that's going to be guaranteed in the first year of the deal. Like we were talking about yesterday, let's wait till the actual numbers come out and the specifics and all the different clauses and things like that. But it certainly does seem like the Bears are spending a lot of money here.
Yeah, the construction of these deals is what matters the most. Bears have a history of giving themselves outs after 1 or 2 years, affordable outs after 1 or 2 years, and they usually fill these things up with incentives. We don't know the finer details of all these deals. But yes, Trey Burton, we talked about this yesterday on the show, Adam. He stood out to me as a total prime example of a guy who's going to be overpaid for what his production is the best. And I get what you were saying. You're paying for what he projects to do. He's going to have more opportunities here. He's not going to be in Zach Ertz's shadow as he was in Philadelphia. But $8 million. You know, I looked at the numbers. He's only behind Robert Gronkowski, Travis Kelce. Who else is there? Jordan Reed. Zach Ertz is one of them. He's up there. He's a top five tight end in terms of annual salary now. So he's got to perform up to that standard. And this is a guy again, nice that he had 5 touchdowns last year for the Eagles. Nice that he had a big play in the Super Bowl that everyone remembers. But only he had 23 catches in the regular season. So we're expecting a lot of a guy who was a kind of a part-time guy for the Eagles last year, or who has been for the past couple of years.
As we get closer to 3 o'clock here, Adam Johns, what are you looking for here? Could there be an unexpected trade we're not thinking about? Are there still guys you think the Bears are interested in? An interesting name. I don't necessarily know how he would fit with what the Bears have right now, but he's a huge name. He's probably going to command too much money, to be honest. But Tyrann Mathieu got released today. We started this by talking about how the Bears have done so much work already, but can you imagine them making some kind of unexpected big splash move here at 3 o'clock?
Well, I guess Matthew's the only big splash name available. I haven't gone through through my checkoff list, but after Nate Solder was signed by, the Giants, right? He left the Patriots for the Giants?
Yep.
I mean, what are the other big names available? There weren't any big names at outside linebacker, and we know that's a pressing need for the Bears. I mean, who are you going to re-sign? Lamar Houston, Pernell McPhee, Willie Young? I mean, those are guys that were just on the Bears. So I don't know where the splash is. The splashes, I think, have been made. The splash was going to be the big wide receiver. You got in Allen Robinson. Yes, Mathieu would be a splash, but I think he's got an injury history to be mindful of. Yes, he's a phenomenal player, great awareness, just a tremendous, use all the scout words, ball skills. He's got all that. You know, he seems to have a real knack for finding the ball and all those things. Obviously, Vic Fangio can find a fit for him on this defense. You can never have enough playmakers in your secondary. But I think the Bears already spent their money. You know, I think it's kind of maybe they add a couple outside linebackers to compete because they need it. You need some depth of offensive linemen, but I don't see where else they could spend right now where it would be considered a splash.
You don't want John Bostic? He's a free agent.
Been there, done that, Adam. It's time to move on. Who are we, the Blackhawks? You don't bring back your Patrick Sharps and your Christopher Steig of the world. The NFL does not work that way.
All right, so I was interested to see what Jermaine Johnson and Malcolm Butler got because they are your true free agent corners. But, I mean, Kyle Fuller could get an offer here from a team that the Bears are going to have to match. So Jermaine Johnson gets 5 years, $72.5 million with the Jets. Malcolm Butler, 5 years, $61 million, which is probably more like where I would have a Kyle Fuller pegged, closer to that. But just your reaction to the cornerback market so far, and I guess I should mention, too, that Aaron Colvin got 4 years, $34 million, a lot less from the Houston Texans. So it'll be – I don't really know where the league values Fuller right now.
Yeah, that Colvin thing, how about that? He was their number three defensive back for the Jaguars last year. Great secondary, a lot of talent there, but he's their slot cat. He'll be an interception last year, and he got paid. Just another prime example of – you know, players getting paid, especially cornerbacks. So what's the yearly averages for Johnson and Butler? What are those there? I don't have the calculator.
Yeah, okay. Well, 5 years, $61 million. Let's do it. We could do this real quick. $61 million divided by 5, so it's a little over 12. And I've been kind of pegging Fuller between 10 and 12 per year. So Malcolm Butler gets 12.2 per year if you average it out. And then it's Jermaine Johnson getting the huge contract, which I think is definitely out of the Bears' range. That would be $14.5 million per year, which is more than he's getting with the transition tag of 12.9. That's the big thing here. Like, I don't imagine Kyle Fuller is going to get Jermaine Johnson money, but if some team did for some reason value him at a number that comes out higher than this transition tag, that's an interesting position for the Bears.
Yeah. You almost get priced out because you didn't want to give him the franchise tag, which was more than the transition tag. Look, I still think Kyle Fuller is going to be the Bear. I know what you're saying in terms of a team swooping in and letting the cornerback market settle, but I think they make it work. I think he wants to be here. I think they want him to be here. I think the transition tags helps set his market in a sense. Now he sees what Malcolm Butler has. Now he sees what Jermaine Johnson has. Yes, every cornerback would love that type of deal, but I don't think that's going to be there for a Kyle Fuller, especially with him missing an entire season just a year ago. And him, you know, he had a good season last year, but it wasn't, it was very good, special, probably not, but he's a very good player. Again, just to conclude that, I really think that he's going to end up with the Bears. I don't think anybody's going to really swoop in and steal him.
All right, well, the other corner that the Bears signed, re-signing, is Prince Amukamara, which this was one I was glad to see. And here's why. I had been saying all last year that I thought Kyle was still the second best corner on the team. I thought Prince was playing overall better. I thought they were both playing great. I thought, you know, give Ryan Pace credit for the way he handled the cornerback spot last year, but they got much better play on the outside defensively last season, and it helped. But Prince ends up getting 3 years, $27 million. Now, of course, let's see how it breaks down and what's actually guaranteed in that. But that's a pretty high number over 3 years. And, I mean, that shows you that they value him and that most of the league thought that Prince played well last year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he didn't have an interception. It's 2 years in a row now. He didn't have an interception. Does that look good? Absolutely not. Prince Amukamara knows that, but he's a quality cornerback. And again, these guys get paid. 1 year, $7 million a year last year, so he gets a $2 million raise on average. I'm sure there's an out after 2 years there. I'm almost positive the way the construction of that deal is going to be made. You know, I know you got a 3-year deal. The CBA's up after that, but I'm almost positive there's going to be an out in this contract at some point. It's just how the Bears do business with veterans. What is Prince, 29 years old?
Yeah,
I like the move overall because I like the stability in the secondary. There's going to be a lot of changes in the defensive front seven for the Bears between now and week one. You know, you still have the draft coming up. You have undrafted free agency coming up. You have trades that could possibly be made. You know, outside linebacker is a weakness. I think the Bears are going to be targeting inside linebackers as well, especially early on in the draft. So you need some sense of stability somewhere. Might as well bring all four starters back in the secondary. So you have Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, you got Fuller, and Amukamara. They were the number seven ranked pass defense last year. Bring them all back. I think it's a great place to start, knowing that there's going to be changes in front of them.
Yeah, and Tracy Porter a couple years ago played on a 1-year deal, got rewarded with a 3-year deal. Now, the money was a lot less, but he only lasted one more season. So that 3-year deal was really just a 1-year extension, right? Prince is a much better player, and I think he played better last year than Tracy Porter did. But that just goes to show you that the way these things get structured, it doesn't mean it's any guarantee that Prince Amukamara is really here for three more years. Now, another guy that's been kind of going from, one year to the next year to the next year and is now stuck around here for a little bit is Sam Acho. And according to his brother, he's getting
I love it.
A 2-year contract up to $7.5 million with $3 million guaranteed. The asterisk is that $150 is due to little brother upon signing. So a good and he threw in there checkmate at Adam Schefter. So a funny tweet from Emmanuel Acho, but here's the thing. Sam's been making like less than $1 million, right, per year. Maybe he was right around $1 million last year because you got to at least pay the veteran minimum. But we're talking $3 million guaranteed over 2 years, so that's $1.5 million. Yeah, I guess that's fine. Now that I think about it that way.
I mean, let's be honest. Right now, you're starting outside linebacker opposite Leonard Floyd.
That's true.
Is that ideal? I don't know, but. Look, he's a pretty good run defender. He had 3 sacks last year. I know that's not a sexy number, but that's like his best total in that seems like his second year with the Cardinals. So I think you take that. I thought he played well on special teams. He's a great locker room guy. His teammates love him. That's why he's I don't want to say he's hanging on because I think he produces on the field, but I definitely think some of his intangibles off it definitely help his case to stay with Ryan Pace and that culture change they're putting together. And it's clear that Vic Fangio likes him. He would not have signed off on this, you know, especially a 2-year deal if he didn't. He's just starting outside linebacker opposite Leonard Floyd right now. You still need help with that position. Maybe you need a better pass rusher to spell Sam Acho on third downs. You know, on second down, I think you definitely need that. But, you know, good. It's a fair, good signing, and Ryan Pace just rewarded a guy who I think has rewarded him in a sense, you know, by kind of outplaying the cheap contracts he was getting.
Are you surprised that Pat O'Donnell may be on his way out?
Mega punt?
Yeah, mega punt. Mega who?
Yeah. Mega who? Yeah, exactly. Okay, how far is his star kind of falling?
I thought he was good last year.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert in putting balls at him, but, you know, I thought he did okay, too, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think it depends on what Chris Tabor wants, your new special teams coordinator. I think Ryan Pace relied a lot on Jeff Rogers to help make decisions in terms of his specialists. I think that's why Robbie Gould was cut. I think Jeff Rogers and John Fox were influential in this decision. So I think he's going to see what Chris Tabor wants. Maybe there's somebody out there he has more connections with or he feels better about.
All right,
Pat O'Donnell has a lot of talent, you know, but we'll see. I'm sure someone will sign him.
All right. Thanks for jumping on, buddy.
We'll see you soon, my friend.
See you. I don't know. We have a press conference tomorrow, maybe? Maybe we will.
Yeah, I hope so, right? Should do. Larry Mayer needs to have something to do.
There's your Larry Mayer reference. We love it. All right. Talk to you later, Adam.
See you, Adam.
Adam Johns from the Chicago Sun-Times and my co-host on the Hogan Johns podcast. There was a new episode yesterday. We'll probably have another episode for you by Monday. So I'm going on vacation Tuesday, so we'll sneak another one in. All right. You hear the music. Time for Buried Headlines. And this one actually drives me crazy. Although, actually, you know what? I'm going to give it a little bit. I'm going to give it a chance. This is from Minor League Baseball announcing today pace of play regulations. You know how much I care about these pace of play conversations at the Major League level. But you may remember in the World Baseball Classic last year, they experimented with this. And at all levels of minor league baseball, extra innings will begin with a runner on second base. The runner at second base will be the player in the batting order position previous to the leadoff batter of the inning. So, whoever made the last out, basically. Or you can substitute. And then that other player is gone. But basically, they're going to put a guy... Yeah, let's just simplify this. There's a guy at second base to start extra innings now. Here's why I don't like it. And I've said this over and over and over again. Baseball's issue is not how long the games are going. It's the dead time in the middle of the game. It's the flow of the game. If it's entertaining, no one cares how long it goes. Football games go 3 hours. College football games sometimes go four. But those fans keep coming back. The TV ratings are amazing because it's entertaining the whole time. And I love baseball. I find baseball entertaining. But I can agree that there's a lot of dead time within the game that makes it more boring than other sports in some regards. You got to have a really good appreciation for the game to stick with it. Especially in this day and age of attention spans being so short. The way I look at extra innings is extra innings are already exciting. It's if you're the home team, sudden death. But every bat becomes more important. I don't think you necessarily need to speed up extra innings. This also doesn't guarantee that just because you put a guy in second, so that guy scores. Well, it's not sudden death. The other team gets to come up with a guy at second, too. And we saw this in the World Baseball Classic. It was somewhat entertaining, the strategy, because you immediately had the guy bunted over to third, usually. That's what they were, if you guys remember this. And then you had two cracks to get a guy home from third. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. It was sort of this gimmicky thing that for a World Baseball Classic, I was like, all right. So let's try it. Baseball, minor league baseball is gimmicky too. Let's see how this works. I'm interested. I'll give it a chance. But this seems like a big change to the game, not a tweak to get things moving a little bit quicker. Let's concentrate on keeping the game, the ball in play. And I don't know why they're so resistant to the strike zone and making it a little bit bigger. Forcing guys to swing the bat more. Joe Thomas retired. Joe Thomas was at Wisconsin when I was at Wisconsin. If you talk to the coaches there at the time, he was one of the most dominant college players ever. Really was. I don't know if I have this 100% accurately, but I don't think he had a penalty in 4 years. And he maybe it's he gave up one penalty or one sack over the course of 4 years, something like that. He was almost a perfect offensive tackle in college. And he had an amazing 10-year run with the Browns. In my opinion, the most remarkable streak in sports, not missing a snap. 10,000 snaps until he got hurt this year. And to me, that's more impressive than Cal Ripken's streak. It's football. Not just playing every game. Not missing a single snap. So, shout out to Joe Thomas on an incredible career. Hall of Famer, no doubt. We're out of time today. So, I had some other things. We'll save it for tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, kind of up in the air right now. Don't know if the Bears will have a press conference. Don't know what time the press conference will be. If they have a press conference between the hours of 1 and 2, we will carry it live. We'll do it best to carry it live. I kind of hope that's what happens, but I don't know when it'll be. I don't know if it'll be before the show or after the show, but it is free agency week. It is a huge Bears week, so we will most likely be keeping the Bears conversation going, and I don't know if it'll be the Bears or another team, but something crazy always happens at 3 o'clock. And if you're listening to this podcast right now instead of live, maybe it already did as you're listening to this. But it's the NFL, it's a big week, and it's always entertaining. So we'll keep that going for you here on Sports Central. We screw up anything today?
Not really. I just have something to add for you, Adam. When the Bears introduction, Marcus Wheaton, Deion Sims, Quinton Demps, and Mike Glennon were introduced at the same time.
Okay. Duh, I forgot about Mike Glennon.
So,
hey, maybe we're trying to forget about Mike Glennon. Maybe that's subconsciously just pushing him out. That's Ben Anderson, our producer. Thanks to Joe Romano, too. Well, I got a busy day ahead, still tracking all this Bears stuff, and we will bring it all back to you tomorrow on Sports Central. Talk to you then.